Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. I pray everyone's doing well out there today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father Yah, for this blessed day. Folks, I want this ministry to bless you and feed you. I don't just want to tell you what you enjoy hearing. I want to give you information, just like when I read the scriptures. I want to learn something. I want you to leave this, hearing this message, to say I've learned something, or I got something to do, something to change. Not, that was a good message. Or even worse, that was a bad message. But no, a message that's going to make you realize things and remember things and see things different. And it's an important message. Today we're going to talk about the foundation of the kingdom. We're going to talk about this because when we question or think about what is the kingdom of our wonderful Creator, what is the kingdom we have looking forward to, and what we are to do to get in there. These are important topics, very important information. So we need to consider this, and we're going to give scriptures today. If you're not driving and you're listening to this, open up your scriptures. And just remember that our Creator is not looking for people that simply know His Word. He's looking for people who allow the Word to transform their hearts. It's not about head knowledge, folks. It's not about just knowing more scripture than anyone else or being able to find a reference. That's good. It's great to know scripture. Scripture is important. But it's your hearts that must be transformed when you read scripture. You know, and when I met people that came into understanding the Bible for what it was and not just what Christianity is preaching out there today and how much more it meant, And the importance of Torah, understanding and obedience and these things. I said, why did you miss it before? Because you had the knowledge of the scriptures, but why didn't you see this? And they say, our Creator had not yet opened up our eyes. And I think what they mean is they have not opened up their heart, not our Creator. It's you that must open up your heart to these words. And so when we look at scripture, there's a lot of different scriptures out there. There's a lot of information, but I often say the Torah, the Gospel, and Revelation sum up pretty much everything. The Torah is the first five books of the scriptures, what this ministry's foundation is on, and what our foundation with our walk in Messiah is. It's literally the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. It's literally the will of our Father for us. Just as a father gives their child instructions on how to live their life and what to avoid to be safe. Well, that's what the Torah is supposed to do for us. Now we heard the word Torah, we think, well, I'm not Jewish. Well, it's not a Jewish thing. It's a God thing. And it starts in Genesis. That means beginning, Bereshit. So the first five books of the Bible, then you got the Gospel, which is Yeshua, which is the living Torah, living the Torah literally as an example for us how to live our lives. And if we're followers of Yeshua, we're following the Torah, the living Torah. And then Revelation, which is going to tell us what's going to happen based on our reaction to the Torah and the Gospels. So it all comes down to the names. The name of our Heavenly Father is not God. God's a title. His name is Yahweh. Of course, some people will pronounce it different, but Yahweh. And His Son's name, or the Son of our Messiah, is Yahshua. Yahshua means the salvation of Yahweh. Every name in Hebrew has a meaning. So it means Yahshua, the salvation of Yahweh. And when we think about Yahshua, the living Torah, who came to give us the salvation, He spoke and gave many different sermons and teachings and information. But what was the greatest, or was one the greatest? Because every single word that came out of his mouth was just as important and great as the other. But there's one sermon that should be spoken about more than it is. More than it is. The Sermon on the Mount isn't about how to become religious. It describes what the citizens of our Creator's kingdom look like. It's about character before ministry and transformation before activity. So we need to think about this. And it all begins with one statement. We're going to look at this. Matthew 5, verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." So we've heard that so many times, but do we actually know what poor in spirit actually means? Because our Creator says, "Blessed are poor in spirit." Are you poor in spirit? What does that mean? I mean, we kind of look at poor as a negative word. But poor in spirit, we think, and the church teaches to be strong in spirit and filled with spirit. But poor in spirit? So we need to understand this and look. The Beatitudes are the parts of this sermon that our Creator wanted us to understand, to get, and what he taught his disciples. And the first Beatitude is humility. Humility. Humility is the doorway to every other blessing. So we need to understand what this means. Because our Creator cannot fill someone who believes they're already full. They must not fall into the trap of pride. And it's humility that's going to keep us teachable. So, understand this. Ask yourself this question. Am I learning more today than I did maybe 5 years ago? Am I seeking to be less so my Creator could be more? When you get up every morning, do you ask the Father? Do you say, "Father, I need you today. I need you today"? When we think about humility and we think about what our Creator does, we need to look at children. And I'm blessed to have children, and I think about how innocent they are. And they're certainly curious, you know, but we have to humble ourselves to have, for our Creator to be able to reveal truth to us. One of the reasons why so many people, with all the head knowledge of Scripture, have not realized or seen some things after reading it over and over and over again, is because they got pride in their knowledge, whether they want to admit it or not. But it's when they're able to slow down and humble themselves, and in humility realize, "I know I need to know more. I don't know what I don't know. I don't know." The pride are the ones that are not getting their eyes open as our Creator, if we want to say that. Matthew 11:25 says, "Yahweh reveals truth to the humble." Yahweh reveals truth to the humble. And when we look at children, what do children do? Think about a child and a father relationship. Children ask questions, they trust, and they have no issue admitting they don't know, right? Now look at adults. They got all the head knowledge in the world. They rely on their education and their experiences in life, and they often think they know it all. I'm not talking about teenagers now, who think they know more than their parents. I'm talking about the difference between children and adults. We, to stay humble, must never lose that teachable spirit. We should never outgrow our dependence on our wonderful Creator. And sadly, this is what happened today, and this is what's going on. Why, ask yourself, would our Creator give us guidelines and instructions that He didn't want us to fulfill, or that we can't fulfill? You know, people, when I tell people we gotta keep the commandments, you know, if you say commandments, people say, oh, no, that's legalism. But if you say the guidelines and instructions of the will of the Father, like, sure, we do. Same thing. So, you know, you keep the commandments. But people say, well, nobody can keep all the commandments except Yeshua, and we don't have to, and Yeshua did away with, and they give you every excuse in the world why we no longer need to do that. Their own knowledge is keeping their heart closed to the truth. See, the enemy doesn't work with the heart. The enemy works with the mind. The enemy will destroy your mind, making you think all these negative things, or all the things that our Creator doesn't want us to think. The enemy takes things completely out of order, creates a problem. So it says in the scriptures that you must become like a child, innocent like a child. And that, and only then could we not outgrow the dependence of our wonderful Creator. Because just as a little child depends on their parents, we need to depend on our Creator just the same way. Not sometimes, but always. Always. I think a good example is, you know, when children call their dad, daddy. Daddy. You know, no problem calling them daddy, but if they're in a public environment, now it seems like a little immature word. So we might say father or something else. Can we humble ourselves before our Creator and call Him daddy? What we want here is to understand that those that have the head knowledge will have information, but those that have heart knowledge or the heart open have revelation. And it's a difference between information and revelation. Knowledge fills the mind, can produce pride, and helps us teach others. Now, a lot of this comes from the enemy. The enemy, it's what we're filling the mind with, and the enemy will fill our mind with knowledge about doing things our own way. There's a scripture in the Bible that says there's a way before each man that seems right but ends in death. Seems right but ends in death. It produces pride in us. Well, revelation convicts us and it changes our attitudes. It's supposed to change our priorities in life and our relationships in life. So we need to ask ourselves, when I finish going through scripture, or if you hear a lecture or something else, as I was saying earlier, have I become closer to the Messiah or farther away? Do I know more, or do I seek to learn more? This is why we need to pray before we teach, and before we read the scriptures. Daddy, don't just let me read it. Let me understand it. Don't just let me get information. Help me get transformation. Thank you, Daddy. Because the enemy will speak to the mind, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will speak to the heart. Psalms 139:23-24 gives a great example of this. What we need to do is ask our Creator to reveal our pride, our selfishness, our bitterness, wrong motives, and hidden sin. The Ruach HaKodesh merely gives information and exposes our hearts to this information. And information is not bad, but it's who it's coming from and what we believe about it. That's what we need to consider. Who this information is coming from? Is it coming from the Ruach HaKodesh? Or is it coming from the enemy? And what are we going to do with this information? So these are serious questions we need to ask ourselves. And if we look at Psalms 139, 23 to 24 in the scriptures, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way," or in the way, "of everlasting." Hallelujah. So, think about this. In the Beatitudes, there was a verse, and it's Matthew 5:20. In Matthew 5:20, it says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." This should be the most important scripture that we're reading and focusing on. This is Yeshua, our Messiah, telling us, if you're on the same level as the Pharisees, you're not getting into the kingdom. This should greatly concern people, because they were very obedient people to the scriptures. And when he said this, it shocked everyone. How could we do more than them? The Pharisees fasted and prayed. They remembered scripture tremendously. They knew scripture. They gave tithes. Yet, a wonderful Messiah says your righteousness must exceed theirs. Why? Because theirs was all about the outside. About the outside. We have to think about outward versus inward righteousness. Think about that. And the Pharisees, they didn't murder. But Messiah said, deal with anger. See the difference. People think when I mention Torah or the guidelines and instructions that Yeshua did away with the Torah, but he didn't. He didn't do it, lower the bar. He raised the bar. So in the scripture, when it says, don't murder in the original covenant, and then Yeshua says to even be angry at someone's murder or adultery. The Pharisees didn't commit adultery. Yeshua said, deal with lust. Overcome lust. That's just as bad as adultery. So I'm not saying the Pharisees didn't deal with these on eternally, but they certainly had the outside fine. But where was the inside, and where were they teaching that? And that's what our Creator wants us to learn. You know, the Pharisees had no issue praying publicly. But Yeshua said, pray to the Father. They had no issue giving, you know. But Yeshua said, that doesn't have to be publicly. You're not doing this as a show. So there's a difference in this all. Well, the world looks on the outside. Yeshua looks on the inside. Yeshua looks at the heart. Yahweh looks at the heart. People today like to evaluate success on many different levels, creating a reputation for themselves based on the appearance that they give. And this is an example that is found in scripture in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. It says, "But our Creator said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Yahweh does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks at the heart. Hallelujah. Yahweh examines our motives and our attitudes and our thoughts and our desires. One of the things we need to ask ourselves often is, who are we trying to impress? Are we trying to impress man, or are we trying to impress our Creator? Such an important question. Who are we trying to impress with our knowledge or our scriptures, giving up our scriptures, or showing things off? Are we looking to teach and help people, or are we looking to knock them down? There's some scriptures in the Bible that prepare us and warn us about many of these different things, and we must be sure to guard our heart. If our Creator looks at our heart, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. It all begins inside. The words we speak, the actions begin there. Sin begins there. Obedience begins there. Remember, folks, don't ask our Creator to manage your behavior. Ask Him to transform your behavior, to transform you, to transform your heart, where He's looking at. Remember, we are called to be set apart from the world, set apart from the non-believers, set apart from the Pharisees that are all looking at the outward appearance. And we are to turn it inward. You know, this is the Bible is a warning pretty much. And there's many signs. Many people fall to the traps of the enemy. The enemy will keep people busy serving that they don't have time to pray. So busy studying that they don't have time to listen. Building up the outward appearance that they don't have time to build up the inner appearance. As I say often in the scriptures, we need to slow down, read our word. We don't need to be in a race. We need to scripturally meditate on the word and pray about it and ask the questions we need and then wait. You know, sometimes the set-apart Holy Spirit will stop us from moving to the next topic or the next word, because He wants us to learn a lesson. We have to learn not to fight against that and to submit to Ruach HaKodesh. In essence, it's this Ruach HaKodesh, which is also called the set-apart spirit or a Holy Spirit. And, you know, so some of the words I'm using you might not be used to, but you know what they are? The Holy Spirit changes us, or at least it's supposed to. And if it's not, it might not be the right spirit talking to you. You know, people say, I don't got to read the word. His spirit speaks to me. Well, whatever that spirit is telling you, better go along with scripture. Because if it doesn't, that's a different scripture speaking to you. Ezekiel 36, verses 26, 27 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws. To obey my laws. The same commandments that the average Christian will say we don't need to do anymore. Well, then why would our Creator put a new heart in us to do them? Do we get that? We have to understand the goal. It's not about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation. It's obedience that's going to bring the blessings. It's about transformation. John 7:17 says, anyone who chooses to do the will of our Creator will find out whether my teaching comes from Him or whether I speak in my own. So we can only find this out by doing the will, by following the Torah, the guidelines and instructions. Our Creator often reveals the next step after we obey Him first. Before you start asking for more light and revelation, stop ignoring the light you already have. Remember that. Remember what our Creator is trying to teach us here. Matthew 7:24. Again, we're understanding this important part of Scripture. It says the wise and foolish builders. And they both heard the word, but only one obeyed it. And the storms revealed the foundation. And the Torah is the foundation. It's not about how much Scripture I know. It's about how much of the Bible I've been obedient to. So these are the things we have to understand. So as we think about this, let's put into action this week, praying before reading Scripture, waking up in humility every single day and asking our Creator for revelation, not just knowledge. Don't rush through Scripture. Read slowly. You don't have to make it a public thing. You could pray to our Creator and talk to Him and welcome that correction and be obedient. And be obedient. Hallelujah. In closing, I give you Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Don't just study the Sermon on the Mount and Scripture. Build your life upon it. Hallelujah. Thank you for watching, brothers and sisters. Thank you for listening, if you're listening to this in your car. Have a blessed day, everybody. Yah be with you this day and always. Shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support.
Good Country homestyle cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant, your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar. Family owned and operated since 1991, Crossroads Restaurant is open 5:30 to 2:30, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 7 to 2:30. Takeout orders available. Crossroads Restaurant, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, located on Highway 70 at Posey's Corner, available at 863-763-8333. You won't be disappointed.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.